Tonight we are, it's been a while since we had our Revelation study because of the current events, but we are in Revelation chapter 18. Just getting started there. Revelation chapter 18, and if you would, please prepare also Ephesians chapter 2. Basically, I'm going to contrast one verse against another. Now, I know we've been in our Revelation study, we've been in some real heavy doctrinal stuff. That's why I kind of wanted to step away from it for a couple of lessons. Tonight, we're back at it. Revelation 17, Revelation 18 has been pretty tough doctrinally. Tonight, though, is going to be something more practical, and it won't be too long. And I hope God will help us. Looking at Revelation chapter 18. Oh, here, before we begin, I need to mute all. There we go. Okay. Revelation chapter 18, verse number 2. The Bible says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Contrasting with that, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 22, here writing to the born-again believer, the Bible says, Ephesians 2:22, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation," same word, "an habitation of God through the Spirit." We live in a world today, and we may joke and laugh about different religious groups and what they believe, but we live in a world today where people are self-righteous, self-willed, lovers of their own selves, and as a result, they're very easily deceived. Most often they're self-deceived. And in our world today, people are convinced that as long as they're spiritual, they're okay. Well, I want us to examine ourselves tonight and make certain that we are the dwelling place of the right Spirit, that we are commanded by the right Spirit, that we are taught and controlled by the right Spirit, and we are following the right Spirit. Okay? Now notice in Revelation 18, verse 2, that Babylon was the hold, it was the habitation, it was the dwelling place, or it will be, of every foul spirit, every foul spirit. And then notice that the New Testament church, that is, the bodies of the born-again believers, they are the habitation or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So why is it that pastors all over the place are saying, "We have young people in our church, they've been in Christian school since kindergarten, but as soon as they graduate from the Christian school, they end up in situations like they're pregnant and other things." And they say, we have young people who've been raised from birth in our fundamental, conservative, King James-only Bible-preaching church, and then as soon as they're 19 or 20 years old, they go out there, they're drinking, they're partying, they're smoking dope, and they're living like the devil. How does that happen? See, it's not a case of what spirit you have learned about. What spirit does your preacher preach about? What spirit does your Sunday school teacher teach about? What spirit have your mother and daddy told you that you need? No, if your body is not the place of God's Holy Spirit, your body will become the dwelling place of every foul spirit. And all the knowledge in the world won't do you one bit of good. A preacher can commit adultery just as quick as a bartender commits adultery. A saved woman can end up in a divorce court as quick as a lost woman can end up in a divorce court. a Sunday school teacher can get drunk as quick as a man who doesn't attend Sunday school. What spirit? What spirit commands? What spirit teaches? What spirit controls? What spirit guides? All right, if you still have Ephesians chapter 2, look up a little bit earlier in that chapter, all the way up to verse number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh." See that? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's working. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had, past tense, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 2, that there is a commander, there is a spirit that issues orders. There's a spirit that gives decrees. There's a spirit that gives commands. I want to say something. I don't know if we probably don't have any teenagers tonight, but this would be a good message for teenagers. But it's good for mothers and fathers, too, who have teenagers. When you say to that child, "You need to read your Bible," and then that child says, "No, I don't want to." Well, what you don't understand, that is the same spirit that says, "I won't stay pure. I won't stay sober. I won't leave that dope alone. I will go to the dance hall." That spirit of disobedience that leads and guides a child to say, "I will slam the door. What are you going to do about it?" That same spirit leads a grown child to say, "I will walk out the door," and leads an adult to say, "I will enter a door that I know I shouldn't enter." Every one of us in our flesh, every one of us in our human Adamic nature knows about the spirit of disobedience. If you are prone, if you are inclined, if you are interested in disobeying in the small things, if you are experienced in that disobedience, you have testified to the fact that you are prone to and inclined to and willing to disobey also in the big things. If you'll disobey in the small things, you will not have a problem disobeying in the big things. When that wife says, "I love my husband, I'm faithful to my husband, I'd never cheat on my husband," but turns up her nose and sneers at the preacher when he says, "Submit to your husband," and he's just reading the Bible, she'll do anything. Because the spirit of disobedience is in command in that instance. That's why the Bible says if a man won't work and provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Because there's a spirit in that man that will disobey the commandments of God. And that spirit doesn't pick and choose which commandments. That spirit is a spirit of disobedience across the board. If I am taking commands from a spirit that says no to instruction from authority, to a spirit that says I won't, well, there's no sin in this whole Bible that spirit will not lead you into. Most independent Baptists are so Catholic in their thinking, it's shameful. I mean, we actually criticize the Roman Catholic system for having its big sins and its little sins. You know, they separate the categories of sins. You know, one child says it's mortal sins and immortal sins. but yet we have things in the Bible that we wouldn't dare go against. And then we have things in the Bible that we really couldn't care less about going against. We don't have a problem with it. Do you know why? Because at the moment, those little things are what you're lusting after. But when the day comes that Satan gives you a big thing to lust after, well, if the spirit of disobedience is your commander, because you've been disobeying in the little things, you're going to do the big thing. You'll do it. So I wonder tonight, I wonder, is the spirit of disobedience in command in your life? You say, Brother Bob, but we attend church. Well, listen, there are teenagers who wouldn't think of going to church if they didn't have to go to church. You say, well, how do you know that? Because you haven't read your Bible 5 minutes all week. That's a good indicator. And you know why you don't read your Bible? Because you don't want to. And you know why? Because you're not interested in it. Well, what if the preacher said, you need to read your Bible every day? It wouldn't make any difference to you. If you have no heart for obedience. What if God said, pray without ceasing, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation? You wouldn't pray. You'd watch TV. Why? You have no interest. You have no inclination. You will do what you're forced to do, but the spirit of disobedience has control in your life. And I'll tell you something, the day is going to come when you're too big or you're too old or you're too far gone or you're too out of the house to be forced to do what's right. And you won't do what's right. You just won't. And moms and dads, the reason God wants you to deal with the spirit of disobedience in its every manifestation, big and small, is because every manifestation of the spirit of disobedience, that's a warning to you. That Adamic nature does not want to do right. Well, you know, my little girl, well, you know, my little boy, they're just so cute when they do that. Yeah, you think it's cute when they're 4 and 5 years old. But that spirit that is controlling their thinking and controlling their actions, it's going to turn into a monster when they get to 15, 16, and 17. And some of you fellows, you know, it's a killer at 27, 37, and 47. The spirit of disobedience, very dangerous commander. All right, let's look in our Bibles in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. There are two teachers. There are two commanders. The Holy Spirit is a commander, and the spirit of disobedience is a commander. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, now there are two teachers. One is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches truth and leads into truth. And then one is the spirit of error. It teaches falsehood and leads into falsehood. Now, do you know why a church-attending young man would pay money to learn how to stand and hold a bat and how to hit a baseball? Because that child wants to learn how to hit a baseball, something he wants to do. He wants to learn so bad that if that coach yells at him and says, "Get that elbow up," that boy, he'll instantly put that elbow up. He doesn't know why the elbow needs to be up or down or to the side or flapping around. He just knows the coach knows how to hit a baseball. I don't know how to hit a baseball. I'll put my elbow behind my head if that's what he tells me to do. Why? Because that kid wants to learn how to hit a baseball, wants to learn right. Now, I don't know why some people think they're fooling anybody by going to church and saying that they're a Christian, saying that they love God, and saying that they want to live a Christian life when they won't read their Bible. They won't do what the preacher says. You know why you won't read your Bible and do what the preacher says? Because your teacher is the spirit of error, and you won't hear the spirit of truth. Young people, they want to learn how to drive a car. I mean, this is my experience in America. Man, they want to learn how to drive that car so bad they can hardly stand it. And they'll go down, they'll get this big thick manual, they'll read that rule book from the Department of Motor Vehicles that tells them the rules, tells them the regulations of that road, and they'll study that thing, they'll learn that thing, so that when they go to take that test, doesn't matter what their opinion is about a yield sign, doesn't matter what their opinion is about a speed limit sign, doesn't matter what their opinion is about a railroad crossing sign, they're going to learn the right answers and put the right answers down on that test. Because why? They want to learn how to drive a car. They want to be allowed to drive a car. And you know why you don't read and study your Bible? Because you are not the least bit interested in living for God. That's why a person won't read their Bible. And you don't, do you know why you won't pray and seek the face of God and hand out tracts and be a witness? Because you don't care. And I'm telling you, the same spirit of error that leads you to think that you don't have to read your Bible and don't have to pray and don't have to be a witness and don't have to obey mama and don't have to obey daddy, that same spirit will teach you it's all right to shack up. It's all right to smoke dope. It's all right to drink liquor. It's all right to end up in the jailhouse. I'm telling you, you're in the wrong classroom under the wrong teacher, and you just think that you'd never go that far because you're deceived. Your teacher's taught you a lie. I mean, really, do you think the devil's going to come right out and say, okay, class, day one, here's what I want you to learn. And if you get anything, if you get everything that I'm going to teach you in this course today, you will go to hell and you will burn forever and ever. You think he's going to tell you that? I'll bet if you went and did a survey in the jail, I bet you wouldn't find one person who would say, when I was 14, I had a goal in life to be in jail. I bet there isn't one person in that jailhouse that intended to be there. Their teacher lied to them. Their teacher told them, follow me and you'll be happy. Follow me and you'll have a good time. He lied to them. That's the spirit of error. Now I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you're a young person or if you're 80 years old. If you will follow instructions with regard to changing spark plugs, if you will follow instructions with regard to hooking up a computer, if you will follow instructions with regard to kicking a soccer ball into a net, if you will follow instructions with regard to catching a fish, and you won't do what the preacher tells you to do from the Word of God, I'm telling you, you are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're controlled by a spirit of error, and it is going to cost you. Sooner or later, it's going to cost you. Romans chapter 8. So let's go there. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 14. Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. All right, notice here there are two controllers. There are two controllers. The Holy Spirit will bring you into a father-son, a parent-child, the closest of all relationships with God Almighty in heaven. A good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. A good father who knows how to protect his children. A good father who feeds his children, who clothes his children, who loves his children, who houses his children, who gives all his life to the well-being of those children. What a great God. that relationship with Him, that's through the Holy Spirit. Or there's a spirit of bondage, again to fear. Young people, some of you know just a little about that spirit of bondage, again to fear. Why? Well, why did you sneak out of the house and slip so far away when you wanted to go and do that thing? Why did you check all directions and make sure nobody could see you when you were doing that thing? Why didn't you just walk into the living room and say, "Dad, I think I want to try marijuana today"? Because the spirit that is leading you to act upon the lusts of your flesh is a spirit that will put you in fear. I mean, hey, if it's such a good time, what are you afraid of? If it's such a good time, why are you all jittery in your stomach? If it's such a good time, why are you so nervous? Why are you so afraid? What is it, young man, that there's something inside you that gets scared when you get close to that girl and think about kissing her? Why don't you just walk up in front of everybody in the church house and say, "I believe God wants me to kiss this girl that I'm not married to"? Why don't you do that? The Holy Spirit of God will lead you in the way of purity and in the paths of righteousness. And you won't have to be afraid of being found out because you're not doing anything wrong. But when the lust, the spirit of disobedience, and the spirit of error begins to lead you down the wrong road, instantly fear begins to take hold. That's a little warning from God, a little built-in warning system He gave you. And you better heed that. You better pay attention to that. God put it there to help you. There isn't a man here that God hadn't saved out of that life that wouldn't stand up and say, the first time I drank liquor, I was scared. That's the truth. There isn't a man here that wouldn't say, the first time I did something I shouldn't have done with a young lady, I was scared. There isn't a woman here that wouldn't say, I don't even want to talk about my past, but the first time I got into what ruined my life, I was scared to death of what I was about to do. What I was about to do. Do you think that came from God? Do you think that that's the blessing of the Lord? Do you think that's a gift of the Holy Spirit saying, here, I gave you something to make you scared to death? Oh no. Consider this. You were never in a bar room in your life that had bright lights. You got to do those things in the dark. Then the Bible says it's the spirit of bondage. Well, here's how that works. Here's how it works. And I think I've given this example before. You take a thread and you wrap it around a strong man's hands. And you say, break that string, he'll just, no problem. He'll snap that string, no struggle at all. You wrap that thread around his hands twice, he'll still be able to snap it. Three times, might have to pull a little bit harder, but he'll break it. You wrap that little itty-bitty string that man could break without any effort, wrap it around his hand 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, 30 times, that little itsy-bitsy string, now it's got a hold of that big, strong man, and he can't get loose. Well, some of you can't quit watching TV. You can't. It's got you. You can't quit listening to that secular music. You can't quit drinking. You can't quit that addiction to tobacco. You can't stop cussing. You can't quit running with the wrong crowd because when you had a chance to break free, the spirit of error told you, I can get out of this anytime I want to. I can quit anytime I want to. And that spirit of error led you into a spirit of bondage. And young people, your parents don't hate you. You're lying, and you know it if you say that I hate you. and that I'm a mean man because the things I preach at you. You know I don't hate you, and you know I'm not a mean man. I'm telling you, I have spent my lifetime trying to get myself and my friends and my loved ones and the members of our church loose from some little thing that they could have busted loose from the first time or the second time. But now that thing's got them bound, and they can't break loose of it. And I'm telling you, the spirit of disobedience in you will lead you to stop your ears so that the spirit of error can take hold on you. And the spirit of error is going to lead you beyond your fears and into something that's going to take hold of your life. And then you're going to try and get out, and you can't get out. Let me show you what the devil will do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'm going to tell you something you might not have thought about before when you read these verses we just read. Do you know why we had a charismatic explosion in America in the 1990s? It's because in the 1960s, the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians did not see their young people surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. But when they woke up one day in a spirit of bondage, something deep down inside said, that old Jesus that I heard that Baptist preacher preach didn't do me any good. I think I'll try that other spirit. You've been through the Bible, you've been raised on it, but hey, they got miracles down there. You learned the Word of God, you learned it in Sunday school from the time you were born, but they got action over there. You have sung the old hymns taken out of the Bible, but man, they were boring. Mom and Dad sang those. They got real music right down at that other place. That church you went to when you were a kid, a fella just stood up in the pulpit with a book and yelled at you. But down there, man, that guy, boy, he knocks them down. He blows them over. He waves his coat and people squirm like a fish. Boy, that's the place I want to go. When the spirit of disobedience leads you to stop your ears and the spirit of error leads you into bondage, if you're not careful, you're going to wake up one day and think that you've been delivered when all that has happened is another spirit has led you into a religion that convinces you that you're not bound when you are bound. That charismatic crowd, they don't care if you commit adultery. They don't care if you drink. They don't care if you hang out on the dance floor. They don't care if you live like the world. As long as you have a good time and get filled with the Spirit. So now you're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and you're still bound by the same sins and the same lusts. And all you got to do, just talk to Jim Baker or Jimmy Swaggart or Peter Popoff or Robert Tilton or Catherine Coleman, and they'll tell you that before you're through, you will be the habitation of every foul spirit. Young people, God knows, some of you have no interest in the Bible. God knows some of you hadn't prayed a prayer all week. God knows some of you hate and despise the rules and regulations that your mamas and daddies put on you. God knows some of you are bored out of your mind with this church business, and you just can't wait to get to the next activity out there in that world. And I'm telling you something, you are going to end up as bad off or worse than somebody that's never been in church a day in their life if you don't get your own relationship to Jesus Christ. Mine won't do, won't help you. Your parents, their relationship to Jesus Christ won't help you. Your Sunday school teachers, that won't do. You better get your own relationship to Jesus Christ, or that spirit of disobedience is going to lead you into the spirit of error, and the spirit of error is going to lead you into the spirit of bondage. And one day you're going to wake up and wish to God that you paid a little better attention. And your mother and father, they'll tell you that preacher loves you, or else he wouldn't have said that. And every man and every woman in our group that has a past that they wish they could forget, they'll tell you, I wish to God that somebody preached that sermon to me when I was your age, and I wish to God I had done something about it. Many of you have more Bible knowledge than a lot of Bible school graduates, but you can't live on what you know. You can only live on what's in your heart. And if you're a parent and you're not correcting your child or your teenager, you need to repent of that. You need to repent of that. Get on your knees before God, beg His forgiveness for tolerating that spirit of disobedience and for promoting that spirit of error and for encouraging your children to go the wrong way. And if you've come to realize that you've been following the wrong spirit, you need to go to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to go the wrong way. I don't want to be disobedient. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to ruin my life before I get it right. I want to get it right first and never have to ruin it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that this has been a help for somebody tonight. I know it's mostly for young people, but Lord, we all are susceptible if we lose interest in godly things and if we start looking out to worldly things and letting our own lusts take control. Lord, help us to truly love our time with You on our knees in prayer, and our time with You as we open the pages of Your love letter to us, the Holy Bible. Help us, Lord, to receive and apply all that we learn, all the instructions that You've given us to live our lives. Help us to want to live our lives according to the way that You have shown us is the best way, the godly way, the way that's going to give us lives of joy with our families, with our loved ones, with our friends, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Lord, to want that life that pleases You and helps others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.